brand new school build we've had in many years. The previous one probably would have been the Colossianish Gaeilge in Carsevine. It would be the last full school build that I recall. So Gaeilge Nua is a, I suppose, a first, or sorry, our most recent big build for ourselves, but Listellic would be our first big build outside of the ETB.
Okay, and going forward, do you envisage, Maria, that more schools, non-ETB schools, will go to yourselves to fulfil this role for them?
Absolutely. I suppose we would be, you know, we're local, we're here, we're accessible, maybe where, the department has charged us with doing this. We have good relations with the department. We obviously have those lines of communication open. And like that, like I said, we have built up an expertise of, you know, seeing the pitfalls. You know, it's like when you're even building your own house, people say you should build, you know, three houses before you get it right. Yes. I suppose we're getting the opportunity to see that, you know, we've gone through this process.
You've been there, done that.
Like.
Yeah.
So we're uniquely situated, both locally, both being on the doorstep of the schools and accessible to the Board of Management. But also we have that expertise now because we've been there.
You've been there, exactly. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go, Maria. I'm keen to speak a little bit more to Owen about further education and training. But thank you for giving us a flavour of what it is that you do in Kerry ETB and perhaps a wing to the whole ETB story that people might necessarily be aware of. So thank you for that. And we're going to focus a little bit now on my studio guest here with me, Owen O'Donnell, who's the Director of Further Education and Training. And you're going to talk to me a little bit, well, as it says on the tin, about further education and training and maybe a bit about skill shortages as well. Give me an overview at the moment. Let's talk about skill shortages to begin with. Where are the skill shortages? Where are you crying out for people?
Thanks, Deirdre. I think everywhere, really, at the moment. I think we're at a time of full employment. That's not to say that there aren't people who are retraining and need help, and we provide a range of activation measures, but there really is a huge shortage of skills at the moment. I think anybody who's trying to get an electrician or a plumber or anybody to do any kind of work, you know, would back that up, that there's a range of skills that aren't as plentiful as they may have been in the past. And that goes down to things like, you know, there was a great report came out recently from Sullis which identified things like tilers, painters, plasterers, block layers. I'm always struck by when I'm driving around Tralee, I don't think I've ever seen an ad on a roundabout for anything other than a block layer. it's quite a stark reminder of the importance of traditional crafts. You know, and how much they're needed in the economy. So we're still kind of suffering a little bit, going back as far as 2008, with the major recession that we went through in the crash.
Did a lot of those skilled people with those skills you mentioned, did they emigrate or did they go into a different line of work or what happened?
Both. And I think age maybe as well. Sometimes, you know, a lot of people were close to retirement. But we did, there was a massive job that time with craft apprenticeships, and we trained and got most people through to their qualifications. But we did have a range of people who immigrated. We had a range of people who retrained and went into other areas. And that did cause backlogs again. Coming into COVID did have a major part to play with apprentices, and I know there's backlogs in apprenticeships there in getting qualified electricians, qualified plumbers, qualified carpenters. There's a range of areas there. But in general, right across, skills really are a major area that's needed in any economy to keep it running. And we provide a range of courses, both apprenticeship and skills training courses, and level 5 and level 6 qualifications to meet that skill, those skill gaps. And
when you say apprenticeships, are you talking about people who can come out of secondary school and go straight into an apprenticeship, or are you talking about older people who might want to just do something completely different?
Absolutely both.
Yeah.
You know, it covers for both. We we have the Commie Chef apprenticeship here in Kerry. We have the first and only wind turbine maintenance technician course apprenticeship in the country. We have the traditional electrical, plumbing, plaster and mortar mechanics, stone masonry. We run a range of apprenticeships here in Kerry, and they are for both people who are maybe of an older age, who are thinking of retraining or wanting to take up something different. It can be a little bit more difficult, but there's good, it's an earn and learn. It's one of those changes that somebody can make, that they can actually finance it. You know, it's not that you're kind of going back into college and you're purely reliant on grants or so forth. So you can actually make changes, and you earn and learn as you go along. But it's also a really good position for school leavers or people who are coming out from school and trying to decide where they want to go in life. And personally, I'm an apprentice myself. I'm an apprentice graduate, so everything I got really in life, I kind of put down to get my apprenticeship at a young age and progressing on from those there when I was qualified, you know.
Yeah, there was always a bit of a snobbery about people becoming electricians or blocklayers or painters, and I think a lot of parents, probably thinking that they were doing the right thing for their children, wanted to push them towards going to college and doing the studying the humanities or becoming, I don't know, lawyers or doctors or whatever. I think that's changing now, isn't it? People are starting to realise.
I think it is. No, there's nothing wrong with, you know, if that's what suits the kids best, and that's where their future career lies. Third level offers a huge range, but apprenticeship is a really, really strong, solid, and always has been a career for anybody to get into. Like, again, I mentioned briefly there the recession. Like, anybody who had a qualification leaving Ireland during that period with a national craft certificate in areas were very employable right across the world internationally. There's a huge demand for them here in Ireland. There just isn't enough, and the numbers are really, really growing. But even with that, it's not meeting the demand. So it's about having demand and long-term longevity for those careers. They're very, very solid careers in the apprenticeship. They're also very well paid. You know, there's maybe a little bit of lack of understanding and perceptions in how much money you can earn. They can be very, very rewarding. I would also say, for anybody who's kind of interested in looking at maybe starting their own career, starting their own business, it's an absolutely fantastic route. Like, you can't get painters, you can't get tilers, you can't get plumbers, block layers, plasters in the manner that you would and as easily as you could. So there's real opportunities for people within those sort of shortages to say, well, look, we're really going to train in those, and if you come through with your qualification, you could be with your own van on the road working for yourself inside a couple of years. You could have a couple of vans and a couple of people working for you. So again, I would say some of, if you kind of look through the top index of earners, some of the richest people in Ireland come from construction backgrounds, or from one of the wealthiest men I know as a plasterer by trade. So, you know, there's really good potential there, and really good opportunities.
Yeah, because office work doesn't suit everybody, and there are a lot of people out there who have an entrepreneurial flair, and they might be a good self-starter, and I guess doing an apprenticeship gives them a solid foundation to start from.
Absolutely. And again, the earn and learn is really, really important for people as well. It gives people who mightn't have the options otherwise maybe to go and get a really good qualification where they're actually working and they're earning as they're gaining that qualification. So it really gives people that extra opportunity. It meets an awful lot of the requirements as well, for, you know, where you want to go and trying out different things. There's a huge progression of apprenticeships now, whereas you know, maybe 10-15 years ago there was a limited number of opportunities for apprenticeship in a limited number of areas. That has really, really expanded now since 2016, and we have a range of apprenticeships called the 2016 Plus Apprenticeship. Here in Kerry we're launching now, it's starting a sales apprenticeship, which is a really, really good opportunity for people who want to get into that. Again, as you say, maybe people who don't want to fully be committed to working behind a desk, you know, where they're out and they're meeting people and they're learning skills in engagement and marketing, branding. There's a range of different skills and competencies that they'll gain from that apprenticeship while they're earning, while they're in employment.
Okay.
And that's launching, I think, we're looking to start that in April here in Kerry.
And I know you mentioned the wind turbine one, and which is more unusual, but coming away from, we'll say, the ones on the contractors type ones, the plumbers and the electricians and the painters, Are there more sort of in the feminine side of things, if you like? I know you do apprenticeships for hair and beauty and that kind
we
of stuff.
We do, but yeah. I wouldn't kind of move away from those, though, saying, you know, from the feminine, because we have a range of females.
People do both, in
those,
both.
And really there is no reason why there shouldn't be an awful lot more. It was great. We had our open week across Kerry College last week, and we had a fantastic, I was really enthused. I was up in Mona Valley campus on Thursday evening, and there was literally thousands and thousands of people who came in over a four-hour period, engaging with our wonderful staff up in Mona Valley, discussing apprenticeship opportunities. And, you know, it was great. There was a range of young women who were representing their trades right across in both electrical, commie chef, wind turbine technician, who are they're in those apprenticeships and really thriving. So there's great opportunities. There's also a bursary as well for employers, you know, who want to take on females within those trades. But yes, there's more apprenticeship and there's more training routes as well in things like hairdressing, things like beauty therapy. There's insurance, there's account technicians. There's a range of apprenticeships now that weren't maybe available in the past. But I definitely wouldn't discount things like plumbing, things like electrician, even plastering, bricklaying. They're tough, hard jobs in some ways, but they're very, very rewarding. It's very outdoors, very skilled, and there's great potential. There's great potential for earning. There's great potential for starting your own business if you have an entrepreneurial streak. So there's a lot of money to be made out in when you have a shortage in anything. That's where the opportunities lie.
Exactly.
And at the moment, there is shortages across all those areas and skills. But yes, we do want to see definitely more women taking up a lot of what maybe would have been classed sometimes as male.
As the male. And likewise, you get
which they
men who want to go into hairdressing and all of that too. You're an equal opportunities body. Just before we let you go, Owen, is there any website or anywhere that you would direct people to
I'm delighted you asked me, dear. Like, I suppose firstly I'd just like to say who are we for, who are we providing for, and literally, as I said earlier on, anything from 16 upwards to any age across a huge range. If you have no qualifications whatsoever, or if you have a PhD, if you have a master's, we have courses that will suit if you're looking to retrain or you're looking to upskill. If you're unemployed or if you're employed, if you're in business or if you're working for somebody in a business, we offer a range of courses. We offer a range of communications and targeted skills to advance courses through our business support unit. In Mona Valley, I mentioned there about apprenticeship. Anybody who's looking or inquiring about apprenticeship, we have a fantastic team up there with our program coordinators and our services to business people who will give you any of the information that you require. We have two brilliant admissions units offices now. We have an admission unit in Kerry Kerry College, one office is in 7 Devney Street, and our new office now in 25 High Street, Killarney, which will give you all the information you need. They're an absolutely fantastic bunch of people who are really, really committed and really friendly and helpful. They'll point you in the direction you need. They'll give you the career breaks that you need. All of that is on our currycollege.ie website. We also have our Kerry ETB website. And if you're interested in an apprenticeship, there's apprenticeship.ie. And from last year, there was a really, really good initiative that was promoted and put in place by Minister Harris on the CEO, which is always associated traditionally with third level. But now all our further education and training programmes are on the CEO, and apprenticeship is there as well. So there are information routes where you can get all that information if you're required.
Perfect. Well, listen, thank you for giving us a wonderful overview, and it's so positive to hear that there's something for everybody out there, and there's so many job opportunities as well. Owen O'Donnell, Director of Further Education and Training, thank you for joining us. We'll be speaking to some more of your colleagues from Kerry ETB after this break. Folks, stay with us. We're on 066 712 3666.
A Talk About ETB Week special, brought to you in association with Kerry ETB, your place for education and training in Kerry.
Yes, we're getting some lovely comments in from people about their own experiences of Kerry ETB and the outstanding work that they do. This one came in from a mother from Tralee commenting about our interview with Owen O'Donnell there, and she says, it's a pleasure to listen to Owen. Every word out of his mouth made sense. Not everyone is cut out for academia. Some parents think their child must go to university to succeed, but it's not for everyone, says that mum from Tralee. And Michael O'Mahony is in Rathmore. Michael says, congratulations to Kerry ETB, who do outstanding work. Keep it up, says Michael. And that's a nice one as well. And now I think I'll read this next one because it links in to what we were just saying there about, it links in rather to our next guest who's here with us in studio. And this is to do with Music Week. And just bear with me one moment. Okay, I might have deleted that by accident, but I'll come back to it in a moment. We have next up in studio with us to chat some more is Anne O'Dwyer, who's Director of Schools, Youth and Music with Kerry ETB. Anne, you're very welcome.
Thanks,
and we've met before, of course, on many occasions. This is another wing to what Kerry ETB does. Can you give us an overview of that side of the house?
This wing is the Schools, Youth and Music Directorate of Kerry ETB. So we have 8 post-primary schools across the county. We have 3 primary schools, community national schools that Colm spoke about already. We have the youth work function, and Colm mentioned the legislation back in 2013, and that was the first time in the history of the state that was actually a function, a legislative function for youth work. And ETBs have that function to coordinate and administer and assess youth needs in the county. So that's a relatively new function for us, but a very important function as well. And then in the last number of years, we have been given the lead role for music generation. And I was delighted with the comment. I know you mentioned it there during the break.
I found it.
You
since.
Found it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You might, if you want to say.
I'll read it out to you. It's from Sarah Barry, who's Arts Coordinator at CBS School, CBS Primary. She says, we're thrilled with Music Generation, Kerry, and the fabulous instruction from junior infants to second class with Ben Glavin, and third to sixth class enjoying ukulele instruction from James Moore. The whole school is lifted up every Friday with their presence. We want to build on this great foundation in the years ahead, says Sarah. So tell us more about what Music Generation Kerry is, Anne.
Well, Music Generation is part of a national movement, really, for music. You might have remembered U2 would have sponsored it originally, when they wanted to see that every child in Ireland would have access to music. And we carried out a survey. In order to apply for Music Generation, it was a competitive process at that time. We carried out a survey, and we found out less than 30% of children in Kerry had access to music education, because, you know, it was something that you had to pay fees probably for. So we felt it was really important to introduce it to the county, and then we started in 2020, just before COVID. It was a misfortunate time to actually set up a performance music education programme, but we went immediately online. And because we did that, we made contact with every school, every primary school, every post-primary school across the county, and then organised activities during summer breaks, during Easter breaks. And we also got huge, I suppose, support from Kerry County Council. The arts officer in Kerry County Council is involved in our Music Generation Section 44 committee, as it's the same as a board of management for a music school. And what we find now is that we have 24 primary schools actually actively involved on a weekly basis. We have hubs then all over the county, and we have ensembles, little groups that are set up to learn different genres. And music education, music, I suppose, generation is all about performance music. It's not about doing the exam. It's about learning music
for the love of it.
And the love of it and performance. And we have a lovely collaboration with Kerry County Council, the Library Service. We were able to, because of the way it's funded and because some of it is supported and sponsored through, for example, the local authority, we were able to buy musical instruments and rent them out so that parents don't have to pay this, you know, fork out a huge amount for an instrument that's up in the attic maybe a year later if they don't continue with it. So we have about 2,600 children at the moment every week learning music.
As many as that
across the county. So we're delighted with it.
And they're even learning the ukulele.
And they're learning the ukulele. They're learning everything, string, wind, every instrument actually you could practically think of at this stage. And it's our ambition now in the next 2 years to set up an orchestra. across the county, and to set up a county choir as well. So, and it, we're actually writing our ETB strategy for the next 5 years at the moment. It's also our mission to actually set up a school of performance music, and it won't be just one place. It will be, again, hubs across the county. And, you know, we've already got 37 centres in Kerry to be, so we will be using those as part of that.
That's fantastic. And you also have a role, the ETB also has a role, you mentioned earlier, and about youth clubs.
Yes, well, youth work, that youth work role, we I suppose, administer the funding on behalf of the Department of Children and DCEDIY. And part of that is funding special projects. We have six of those across the county, and they're very targeted work, targeting young people that really need that additional support in youth work. And we also fund voluntary youth clubs. And I suppose what we found in the last number of years, after COVID, a lot of the voluntary youth clubs haven't restarted. And they're a very important service to young people in each of the communities. And we found during COVID, and all the research that has happened in education and out of education, really, I suppose, emphasised the impact of COVID on children and young people and their socialisation, you know, their opportunities to meet, to link up and to just have that fun and enjoyment and the normal growing up. So it's really important that those clubs get off the ground again. And I suppose part of our strategy in the next few years, we're writing our youth work strategy. It's a 3-year strategy in line with the overall Kerry to be strategy. And one of our ambitions in that is that we will try and get more funding from the department to support those clubs. While there's funding directly for the clubs, there's really no funding at the moment for support development workers. Because when you work in a youth club, you need somebody to come in and help you with the child protection piece. You need the insurance, the planning of activities, the organising on a weekly basis. You need development workers for every kind of, you know, geographic area, whether you have 5 or 6 clubs in an area like Tralee Town or back in Eva Peninsula or down in South Kerry or West Kerry. And so we'll be looking to the department to actually start funding those roles to develop and support the volunteers who work in those clubs. And we're really encouraging people to get back and get involved in youth club support again.
It sounds like you're going to be busy, Anne.
Very busy. We're very busy.
But you enjoy it, obviously.
It's most enjoyable. It really is. And we're delighted that we've been nominated for 2 of the national awards this week. You know, this is part of ETB week, and we've been nominated. Our school in Castle Island Community College, 2 of the transition year students have a fabulous project there, and it just shows you how technical and how, I suppose, innovative, you know, young people are. It's called Bright Minds, and it's an app that actually students can communicate with the teacher during class about what they don't understand. Because, you know, it's so hard when you were in school, when I was in school, we rarely put up our hand and say, I don't understand.
You don't want to draw attention.
It's a little bit embarrassing.
Yeah.
And so they've developed that app that the teacher can actually get feedback while the class is happening. So they're up for an award. The second award is a lovely project because it actually crosses our primary schools, our community national schools, our post-primary and further education. It's a lovely synergy across the three, where in the last 2 years, I suppose for the last over 10 years, our schools are very innovative. We've really concentrated on, you know, the best instructional strategies for students. So we've done an awful lot of work on the best group work, the best instructional strategies, graphic organisers, the best way that students learn. And then we moved on to Microsoft platforms, and we were well able to, you know, transfer online when we had to. But our students are using Microsoft platforms all the time. And when you come to an ETB school, you get a Microsoft licence immediately. All your family actually get a licence when you actually join an ETB school. And then to build on that, in the last 2 years, we were approached by a researcher with Trinity College to actually do a project across primary, post-primary and FET, and it's called Universal Design for Learning. So where every teacher is designing their lesson for every student in the class. The student that finds it very easy and the student that finds it more difficult. So they're designing a lesson and using technology, for example, Microsoft or Immersive Reader is another Microsoft application where if I'm finding a difficulty, if I have dyslexia, dyspraxia, if I'm just finding it difficult, you know, difficulty to read or to understand, the Immersive Reader actually reads back to me and, you know, and can actually translate as well, which is very useful at the moment with you know, the new Ukrainian community that
applied
to our schools.
Yeah.
So that project, 28 of our teachers across primary, post-primary and FLET are training in that approach, and are the champions applying that approach back in their own schools and sharing that best practice with the other teachers. So we will have it actually researched and we'll be able to share that learning in the next 2 years.
That's incredibly progressive.
It is, it really is.
And thank you for giving us an overview. Congratulations on the award as well, by the way. Another lovely comment in, listener says, a huge thank you to Anne and all the team in 2 Mile CNS. We have two boys in first class who love the Music Generation Initiative and we're looking forward to sending our youngest boy in September. Keep up the good work. So there's a lovely comment for you. And thank you so much for popping in to us and telling us a little bit about your own role and another wing, another arm to what Kerry ETB does. That's Anne O'Dwyer, their Director of Schools, Youth and Music. And we will be wrapping up with our Kerry ETB celebration after the break and chatting a little bit about the future. And we'll also be chatting to Councillor Jim Finucan, who is Chair of the Board of Management of Kerry ETB. That's up next.
A Talk About ETB Week special, brought to you in association with Kerry ETB, your place for education and training in Kerry.
Now, we have been joined in studio, and Anne is going to, has stayed with us for a moment, and I'll come back to her in just a sec. But we have been rejoined by Colm McAvoy, CEO of Kerry ETB, and I'm also delighted to welcome into studio as well the Chair of the Board of Management of Kerry ETB, and that is Councillor Jim Finucan. And Jim, you're very welcome. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Deirdre. Thank you.
Before I come to Jim and back to Colm, and there was just one more thing you wanted to mention before we go any further, and that's your role in primary schools. We might just mention that briefly.
Deirdre, our role in primary schools is relatively new. The first ETB primary schools were set up back around 2009 in Dublin when there was a huge population kind of increase and the state had to respond. And since then, I suppose because Ireland is a changed and a much more diverse society, there was a report commissioned by the department on patronage and pluralism. And that recommended more state schools, more multi-denominational, co-educational state schools. And I suppose the Community National School model is the example of that. We are, I suppose, very much equality-based schools. So when you set up a Community National School, it's the same as every other school in that it provides the Department of Education curriculum. But what is different about it is it provides a different patrons programme. It's not, religion isn't taught as part of the school day. So they have a patrons programme, which is very much about young people's sense of identity and belonging. It's a whole module on philosophy and a whole module then on learning about others, learning about all beliefs that are in the school and non-beliefs, whether they're you're Catholic or you're Buddhist or Protestant or atheist. It's about learning from and about everybody else in the school.
And are there many such schools like that in Kerry at the moment?
There's three at the moment. And another school that's very interested in transferring over. So we have an excellent relationship with the Kerry Diocese. So if a school chooses to become a Community National School, and the three schools that transferred over were three small schools, and they have doubled, trebled and quadrupled in size since. So because there's definitely a demand, you know, out there. And we even found that last week when we met with the department. They were talking about teacher allocation for primary schools, and they find that there's very few teachers going on the panel in primary schools that are in Community National Schools, because the schools are growing and teachers are very happy to work in Community National Schools. So we would love the community to know more about the Community National School model. You know, we sometimes we assume when we're in our own organisation that everybody knows these new this new terminology or these new schools, but I suppose this is an opportunity today to explain to people that this is
what you do.
It's very much a state school model.
Okay, very good. And thank you for explaining that to us. Now let's bring Councillor Jim Finucan in at this stage. Jim, you, as I mentioned already, are the chair of the board of Kerry ETB. Is that a role you've had for a number of years?
It is. It's gone back, I think, nearly 10 years now. I think it is. It's
you've seen some changes in that length of time.
Very much so, Deirdre. And I suppose the one thing that we can say, and we've witnessed, and with the establishment of the ETB's education and further education training, is no longer static. It's moving, it's flexible, and it's innovative. And part of my job as chairman of the ETB is to encourage that, because I believe that unless we respond to the times that we're in and respond to the communities, we're not doing what we should be doing. And if we look back at at my own education, you know, the books didn't change, the schools, very little changed. But technology, the way we live, the challenges our own society are facing, all these things have changed tremendously. And I like to think that and you've met all our senior management team here today on your programme, that we have a very innovative, committed group of people dedicated to bringing about change in an effective manner.
Okay, and you enjoy your role, I would imagine.
I do. I got involved in public life through youth work in Dublin's North Inner City. I worked as a school attendance officer. It's too long ago now to even tell you the times of the day. It's long past in history, but I felt, and if you utilise the words of Nelson Mandela, but education is the one weapon to change any society. And I've always believed that. I've always fervently believed that even if people fell out of the system, everybody deserves a second chance and a third chance. And if we were to get across one message to your programme, and I'm talking about people who have maybe left education, and part of my job as well, I've met people who've come back and done courses in further education and training, particularly women who, you know, I met one specific woman who hadn't been in that building since she went to primary school. That was the extent of her education, and she came in to do a course, and it just began to, and she ended up with a small business from it. But there is an opportunity by talking to our admissions office. We have one in Tralee in Denny Street. Elaine is very good. We have an office in Killarney. But ring us and talk to us. If you've no contact, never had any experience with TTB, but for people listening to you at home today, ring us and talk to us. And if you want to do something to give yourself fulfilment, to get back into the workplace, to do something that you really wanted to do all your life but never got an opportunity to do so, this is the organisation which will try and deliver a programme for you in an effective way. And anything, particularly in public life, there are too many times that we can say with our hands and our hearts, this is an organisation that can change people's lives, because technically that's what politics is about. But people get distracted in public life. But here is the nub of it, and particularly for a county like ourselves that's diverse, that has different peninsulas, different requirements in different sectors, we have a huge investment programme. If I was to say to you today, we have 101 million committed in capital investment for the county. That's an investment in buildings throughout the entire county. It's hugely significant. But we have ambitious plans. We have Sarah Lee site in Killarney, in conjunction with Kerry County Council. Again, we had cooperation with Kerry County Council and the Gael Cluster. But I'm hugely excited about that we will have the first commercial diving school in the country, based in Castlevane, and a marine training development unit. So it's about, and I believe that with the team that I have serving the board, and we have a very proactive board, but we have to push the boundaries. You get one chance to do this, but I must admit I found my role invigorating. And then the opportunity of meeting young people, they keep you refreshed, they keep you active, and they keep you, you know, they let you know what's up to date, what's not. And we have had very huge challenging issues, the Ukrainian situation. We've 1,300 Ukrainian children in our schools. We've had the ambassador in Castlevane. We've had the Palestinian ambassador meeting our students in Gloucester, Clonlea. We're pushing what I would term a broad spectrum of human development.
Fantastic. And Colm, just to come back to yourself, the future is bright, and you're going to be very, very busy. From what Anne has been saying, what Jim has been saying, there's a lot happening in the future.
Yeah, well, the future is bright for us. We're busy, but we don't take too long to reflect on what we've achieved, because, you know, life can move on very quickly. But, you know, we're planning for the future at the moment. We'll be launching a new strategy, 5-year strategy, in June. We just have it almost finished at the moment. And, you know, the emphasis is on, I suppose, strengthening the organisation, okay, strengthening up in terms of making our organisation stronger, because, you know, we've had a lot of change over the past 10 years, and we're in a good position now at the moment, but we need to build on that, okay, and make ourselves stronger. I suppose areas that will be, I suppose, for development will be, I can see us expanding our core services that we have in Centrepoint. With Maria, I can see us expanding that outside of the remit of DTB at the moment. As she mentioned earlier, the buildings has gone outside, but there's nothing to say that we couldn't start doing other functions, okay, outside of buildings, okay. I would see the community national schools as an area for development. I think there's a really massive emphasis in the country at the moment on the apprenticeships, okay, and further education and training as, you know, I suppose further education and training as a first choice, okay, for people. That people, when they come to complete school or wherever it was in life, that they look at further education as their first choice, okay, as number one choice, because it's going to bring them to a meaningful career. And I suppose, like that, at the moment, we're working on a project with UCC and the MTU in relation to pathways programmes for learners who come in on our programmes. And I suppose Jim mentioned the Marine Campus, okay, I think that will be a significant development. And we're all looking forward, I suppose, to... later in April this year, we're going to have the opening of Gael Coláiste Cearie here in Tralee. Now, I don't know if people have been up there. It's located not far off the, what I call the Rosatel roundabout, just there, just in there. But, you know, it's a fabulous building. It's a fabulous building. And I would encourage people, you know, to go up and have a look. There'll be a number of open days and that, when that opens, okay, to encourage people to come in to see it. Absolutely fabulous. So, but to answer your question, we're busy, but we like being busy, and we have a good team. We've a good team. We're looking ahead at the years ahead. And when we did our strategy, we tried to do a future back approach. We tried to position ourselves in 2027 and work our ways back. So we have a quite extensive plan in place. And one of the things now, this is an innovative thing that has come through, is we could be talking to yourselves or somebody else. We're looking possibly about introducing the idea of doing a podcast, okay, on education and training topics, about maybe one a month. Okay, maybe 10 in a year, whereby we would be focusing in on topics, okay, that's relevant to education and training for the broader public could tune in and download. And you know, say, for example, if we did a session on community national schools, or we did a session on apprenticeships, or we did a session on, you know, dealing with, I suppose, autism in schools, you know, we focus on those. And in the strategy, interestingly, when we engage with our teams, we're looking at the idea of possibly setting up a research component to our organisation, where we will home in on certain areas each year, which means that we have the best advice available to our management and staff in our schools. And that's a new development, okay, that we're looking to do, where we'd have really the best advice available. Because as we develop over the years ahead, we will be taking on more functionality. We will be becoming stronger as we see it. And, you know, when you grow the organisation, you can also grow expertise in areas. And that is critical. That you get a mass of people that you can grow expertise so that you can give the best advice and the best support in terms of it. Because as Jim has said, education and training is life transforming, really. Okay? And we need to be in the best position possible to support our teams out there.
Very good. Well, listen, we're going to have to leave it there, folks, because the clock is ticking. But it was great to hear of the success story that is Kerry ETB, and to get a flavour of the work you do. And I must say, I learnt an awful lot, because I had no idea that there was so many wings to your organisation, and that you were involved in so many other projects. Thanks a million to all three of you, and to our previous guests as well. Warmest thanks to Colin McAvoy, CEO of Kerry ETB, and Councillor Jim Finucane, who's here in studio with me, and Anne O'Dwyer as well, Director of Schools, Youth and Music, and to all our ETB guests for coming in and chatting to us.